This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I want to welcome the wonderful, amazing, powerful Minister Margaret to the stage with me tonight. I'm so
awesome.
Excited about tonight. God's presence is already in this place.
Yes, I feel His presence.
Hallelujah. And I know that God is going to do some incredible things. God is going to say some incredible things. And I'm even looking forward to the question and answer time. So if you got questions, get them ready. We're going to do question and answer at the end. But I wanted to start off with a little bit of teaching from Mark 16. If you have your Bibles, go with us to Mark 16. I want to look at that a little bit, and then I've got some great questions I want to discuss with Minister Margaret here. But Mark 16 says, Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just as sunrise. And they went to the tomb, and on the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" For the entrance to the tomb. But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now, go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there, just as he told you before he died." And the women fled from the tomb, trembling, bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened.
Afraid. Yeah.
They were too frightened. Wow. Yeah. We live in a time when there is a lot of fear right now. I was even talking to my daughter this afternoon as we were kind of going on a walk and getting out of the house a little bit. But we were talking about how fear happens in a society and fear happens among people and how crippling fear is. And today we just want to discuss what is the right response that we should have in the middle of crisis. You and I were just talking about fear
right. Just
before we started this.
Right, how powerful it is. It's very crippling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly crippling because even after these women had this incredible encounter with an angel. Imagine that if you had an encounter with an angel. You think that they would be bold, but instead they leave and then they're immediately, they're too frightened. They don't say anything to anyone. Verse 8 says they won't say anything to anyone because of so much fear.
Right, fear.
Yeah.
False evidence appearing real. Yep, they were fearful.
Exactly.
Fearful of what the Romans would have done too, because, you know, mm-hmm. Jesus died and he prophesied that he was going to raise again.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they sent soldiers to guard the tomb. So they were afraid to be the first one to say, hey, it's empty.
Yeah.
Because, you know, their life is at stake right there.
Sometimes God is moving in our heart and God is saying things to us. And we read the Bible, and there's some things we read in here, and instead of acting on what we know to be true and what we know in our heart and what we just on the inside, we know that we know this is something God has said to us. Instead of acting on it, what makes us get so crippled with fear?
Mm-hmm. Fear is very powerful. And for us to overcome such a crippling demon, we really need the Word of God.
Yeah,
because fear has... I have so many examples of how fear demonstrates itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you wish, I could share
an
incident with a friend of mine who, because of this virus, he's so fearful of going on the outside, that the mere fact that he's going to the door, he started trembling. Mm. So I can imagine the ladies leaving the tomb. They were also shaken because what happened? What's going to happen to us if we be the one breaking the news mm-hmm. that the Messiah is no longer in the tomb?
Yeah.
And so we are living in a society where we're crippled, where we're afraid to open our mouth to speak, but God has given us power, yeah. love, and a sound mind, not the spirit of fear. And we need to understand that.
And we were talking about something so great. Faith, it talks about in Ephesians, faith is a piece of our spiritual armor.
That's
faith.
Right.
So when we walk in faith, what happens is we're walking according to the word of God, and we understand that by his stripes we are healed. Now I've got this armor on, and it's faith. The faith is a shield. So it's a shield that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. Whatever the devil throws at me, boom, I've got my shield of faith. Right. That's what Ephesians says. Now, the Bible also tells us about fear. The Bible tells us what you fear most will come upon you. So actually, if you're sitting in your house and you're watching so much of the news and you're listening to this report and that report and the other report, guess what? You get enough fear in your spirit. Guess what? That thing will come on you.
That's
what the Bible actually tells us. So we have a choice between fear or faith. Faith is a piece of armor that we use to deflect the enemy's attacks. Fear is something that it's an open door. It's a cracked door.
It is an open door. And what do we feed ourselves with? Do we feed ourselves with faith?
Yes.
Where we rely on the word of God, or do we depend on media that is causing us to go under a bushel?
Mm-hmm.
But we need to realize that God is not a God who is fair.
Yeah, yeah. There's all these reports. All these reports, and you can go to this outlet, this media outlet, this media outlet, this social outlet, and you can get all types of reports. But this is the best report that you
amen,
can.
This
is the best
amen.
Report. This is the most important report.
Yes.
And if you know this report, all other reports have to submit to this report. This report is the highest authority, the highest report that you can get. And so when we understand what God's promises are, man, God's promises, it says in the word of God, are yes and amen. That
amen.
Means you can take it
yes.
to the bank. If God said it, that settles it in your life. You know, by his stripes, we are healed. You know, that we will pray for the sick and they will recover. Not only
amen.
Is healing your portion, but healing is in your hands.
Amen.
That the people that you touch, that the family members that you touch that are on the fence, that their faith is not so strong. The Bible says you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so we contrast that, the power of faith versus the power of fear.
That's right.
You know, so, but let me back up just a little bit, because first off, they go out and they purchase burial spices and they're worried about who's going to roll the stone away. Can I tell you, when you're looking at the circumstance from the wrong perspective, you're going to be running around doing stuff that is of no consequence. Let me tell you how important buying burial spices and rolling the stone was away to a risen Jesus. It was of no value. It was not important. That was superfluous action. That's just running around doing stuff that's of no consequence.
Yeah, because he wasn't there.
Exactly. His body did not need to be anointed with spices. So we realize, when we operate in fear, when we respond wrong to crisis, we have all this wasted energy and wasted action.
Yeah. And God's word says when we search for him with all our hearts, we'll find him.
Yes.
And when we find him, we find peace.
Yes.
And for us to overcome, one tool is to have God's peace within us.
Mm-hmm.
Because his perfect peace casteth out all fear. So we need to understand that once we have God's peace within us, fear also has to go.
Yeah. And God knew that there would be an attack with fear.
Yeah.
You know, God knew that there would be an attack with fear in your life, and an attack on your family in fear, an attack on our nation in fear. God knew that. So God sends messengers of faith, and he sent the messengers to these precious disciples, and the messenger said, don't be alarmed.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. If you're looking by the natural, you're going to be alarmed. There's lots of stuff in our world, even beyond the virus, to be alarmed about.
That is
we
true.
We can find something every day, a new thing to be alarmed about.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're looking from the right perspective, we're going to understand that we don't need to be alarmed.
We don't need to be worried. We don't need to be.
We don't need to be anxious.
Right. You know, last week, Tuesday, I was, you know, talking with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, what are you saying to me in this season?
Yes.
This virus season, what are you saying to me? Because there's so many different gospels out there. But what are you saying to me? And what God said to me was, draw close to me.
Wow.
Draw close to me. And that is the message he's sending to you out there. Draw close to him. Because fear is not the answer. But faith, which God will allow us to overcome because of the faith in him.
Amen. Amen. Faith, I think faith is just indispensable in the life of a believer, because without faith, we're not even looking the right way. The Bible says we walk not by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Right.
We walk by faith, not by sight. If we're looking by the natural, we're going to see the wrong thing. See, the angel said, you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. You see, that is the wrong thing to be looking for.
Right.
They need to be looking for Jesus of Nazareth that was resurrected. That's who they needed to be. And so he said, you're looking for the wrong thing. You're looking the wrong way. You're looking with the wrong mentality. You need to look with a higher perspective.
And what happened too is that they had forgotten that he told them after 3 days. So even though he told them, don't come looking for me.
Yeah.
They still came with spices.
Yeah.
But he wasn't there.
Yeah. So fear does this. If we spend enough time away from the Word of God, we start to forget what he said.
Yes.
And we start listening to fear more.
That's right.
So whatever you put more in, you're gonna produce that in your life. If you're listening to a lot of stuff in the natural and natural thought processes, natural rationalization, guess what you're going to get out? You're going to get out a lot of the same natural rationalization.
Mm-hmm.
In the natural, you know, there's certain things that are impossible. There's certain things that are very difficult. There's certain things that are daunting. But in the spirit, all things are possible.
Right.
All things are possible for those that believe. And so if I put faith in, if I put the Word of God in, if I put the promises of God in, if I put the teachings of Christ in, mm-hmm. what I'm going to get out is the very, very best.
That's right. So what you put in, you will get out. So if you spend time in God's Word, spend time in God's presence, then whatever you bring out is going to represent God. So we have to be careful what our eyes gates are seeing, what our ears are listening to.
Yeah.
Because whatever we listen to, we become. And so we have to make a shift, make a turn, make a new turn.
Yeah, absolutely.
a reset, put a reset button on where we are not going to be walking in faith, not fear.
And I'm so glad these ladies, that's what happened. They pushed the reset button because it says they leave the tomb. They fled from the tomb trembling and bewildered, verse 8 says, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. But then it says, then it says, though, that they went to the disciples. So somewhere they mustered the courage. Somewhere they stirred up their faith and said, we are going to open up our mouth. We are going to say something. So they go to the disciples and they give the news. But verse 11 said they didn't believe her. And then two more disciples, right? They were walking to the country and they saw Jesus and they rushed back to tell the others. But no one believed them either. And so verse 14 tells us, still later he appeared to the 11 disciples and they were eating together, and he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him. Now, this is so important because Jesus is all about growing, challenging, correcting, pruning, watering our faith, because that's just how important faith is in our life. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to please God without faith. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, our model, the author and finisher of our faith, is coming right behind us.
Yes.
He's challenging us. He's correcting us. He's rebuking us. He's loving us. He's challenging us. He's coaching us. He's pruning us, all to get our faith to grow. Whatever, you know, sometimes we go through difficult stuff and God allows that to be fertilizer on top of your faith to let your faith grow some more. Sometimes when you go through difficulties, remind yourself that on top of you is some fertilizer to grow your faith. Sometimes we have to realize Jesus is there. He is the ultimate faith coach. He is behind us, and this is... So some of these disciples, this is the first they've seen of Jesus since he resurrected him. They comes out straight with a rebuke about faith because that's how central faith is.
Because without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
So we have to really exercise faith. And for us to exercise faith, we have to have a relationship with God. And even though those disciples did have a relationship, it's just human nature. They forget.
Yeah.
In a couple hours, they forget. In a couple days, they're like, no, it can't be. Oh, we're doomed. Everything. Let's go back to fishing because this is it. But reset.
Yeah.
Reset.
Yeah.
He is alive. You know, activate the faith all over again.
Mm-hmm. It's we can't look down condescending when we read these stories about the disciples because it's easy to sit back and say, man, if I was there, I'd have done that differently. No, this is an insight into thoughts and patterns that we have in our life that we have to break. The reason why it's there, the reason why all this honesty is there is so that we can look at it and say, wow, if Peter went through that, I understand that's a journey that God has me on. If John went through that, if doubting Thomas had a moment of doubt but then had a revelation, then... maybe that's where I am in my faith journey. But the journey, the outcome is to have faith. Faith, mountain-moving faith. So let me ask you, what is it that you're doing throughout this season right now to keep balance? Because our rhythms are all off, all out of sort. Our job, work-life balance is... it's turned all the way upside down. What are you doing to keep your balance in this season?
To keep my balance, I spend more time in God's presence, in His Word. Because His Word brings light, life, hope, joy, peace. I find everything in His Word. And so I, you know, wake... as a matter of fact, I don't call it prayer. I call it talk.
Yes.
Because I'm always talking to God. When I'm sleeping... I wake up talking. God, how are you? What is going on today? What is happening? And so for me to have that relationship with Him, I have to know His heart. How do I know His heart? By reading His Word, meditating upon His Word. How can I reach you more, Lord? Go into some worship. Play some worship music that ushers you in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And with that, you're able to withstand in these evil days.
Yeah.
And having done all, to remain standing.
I love that. I love that because we have to balance, make sure that we're balanced in our spirit. We have to make sure that we're balanced on an emotional level. That's the soul. The Bible talks a lot about the heart, the soul. And we have to make sure that we're not allowing people to play on our fears, people to play on our emotions. You know, we have to, you know, continue to have these conversations with God where we lay our emotions at His feet and let Him... you know, let Him sort some things out. Sometimes you got to sort some things out in the prayer closet. Mm-hmm. You got to sort some things out when you're having conversations with God. So how do you make sure that you're looking at circumstances the right way? And any tips that you can give to look at circumstances the right way?
If it doesn't measure up to the Word of God, then it's garbage for me.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's garbage because... anything that is going to distract me from my goal, my purpose, the path that I'm on, then it's garbage.
Yeah.
Because garbage in, garbage out. And I want more of Him. I want to hear Him daily. I often said I think I'm maybe His most greedy child because I'm like, God, what are you saying to me today? I need something today. What is it?
Yeah.
And so how he speaks, I'll go into his word, and he will teach me something in his word.
I love that.
Yes. So once we get in his word and stay in his word, we will hear from him daily.
Yeah.
Because he is still speaking.
Yeah.
He is still working. We may not see it, we may not feel it, but he is still working. Mm-hmm.
When you said that, I just thought of, I just flashed the scripture where Paul says, I count it all lost, or I throw it all out on the dung heap in comparison to the knowledge
yes.
of Christ Jesus and who he is. Man, when we really start looking through the perspective of, man, if this does not line up with who Jesus has told me
yeah.
I am, who Jesus is to yeah. me, to the promises of God, that I'm throwing that out on
yes.
the trash heap. That thing is going to the dump
yep.
because it's not helping me be more like Christ. It's not helping me be a better person. It's not helping me be a better dad, a better mom, a better husband, a better wife. It's not helping me, period. So I'm throwing it out. If it's something in conflict
right.
with my
right.
faith, I don't allow space for things in my life that would be a conflict
right.
to my faith.
Which is true. And, you know, sometimes when I do feel stagnant, this is my prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, give me a hunger
Woo!
And a thirst.
I like it.
A new hunger and a new thirst. And then I said to him, God, remember in the book of Acts,
yeah.
there was a refreshing.
Yes.
God, I need a refreshing because yesterday's blessing is not sufficient for today.
Oh, man.
Yesterday's victory is not for today. I need you more
yeah.
than yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. I love it. Now you're tying yeah. it back into the worship. I like that.
Yes.
I've been trying to get Minister Margaret to sing with us on some special occasion because people don't know she used to be in this great singing group, and that's how her and Minister Johnny met. And so anyways, I've been turned down several times, but I still have hope. You know, that's why I'm the pastor of hope. All right, next question. How have you grown, and how can we grow through this struggle?
Okay, how can we grow through this struggle? We have to look to the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came, he was tempted. Yeah.
Yes, he was.
And we are tempted.
Yes.
He lived an exemplary life for us to see. In today's scripture, we see where even though he told them that 3 days and I'll be back, you know, they forgot.
Mm.
And so I have to say to him, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief at times, because
yeah.
I do question things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to use the scripture and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Where I'm short, give me your word. Give me something to
yeah.
pull me closer, to pull me back under your wing, because on the outside is not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be outside of his will.
Yeah.
I don't want to be outside of his pavilion. I want to be closer and closer with
yeah.
him.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And just, you know, surrendering those areas. A lot of times we try to rationalize why it's all right to paint outside of what God has told us to do, or what God gave us a command, or God gave us an instruction. And sometimes the natural mind wants
right.
to rationalize an exception. We're like children,
right.
you know, before our Heavenly Father even, and we try to, God says this, and we try to test the limits of it, trying to rationalize our way around what God has told us to do. Can I tell you, save yourself some time. Save yourself some heartache. Don't try to rationalize your way around something that God tells you. Don't try to rationalize a way around something that's in the Word of God. Just work through it.
Right.
Don't try to find a way around it. Work through it. It's that working of our faith. It's that's the thing. That's where we work our faith out, through prayer and through supplication. We're working our faith out when we have to go through the word.
And in going through whatever situation, my question is, Lord, what is the lesson you're teaching me? Is it more faith? Is it to be more kind? Is it to be more sociable? Whatever.
Yeah.
Because whatever situation we're going through, there's a lesson.
Yeah.
For yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
mm-hmm.
we will not fear.
Yeah.
See, fear again comes up.
Yep, yep.
Because God is with us. So we should ask, what is the lesson you're allowing me to learn in mm-hmm. this season, through this trial, through this situation. And once we're able to hear what God is saying, we will grow. We will grow spiritually so that we become a testimony for him.
Amen. 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 That's so, amen. so good. I'm enjoying this time. If you have questions, you can just type them in, drop them right there into the chat, and we'll try to catch as many of them as we can. If you got a question on the scriptures that we covered, or you got just a question outside of those things, we'll try to answer, time permitting. Tell everybody that doesn't know, because I find this so interesting about what you do. Tell everybody here, besides being a powerful woman of God, what else you do?
apart from being married to a wonderful musician. And
one
producer.
Of the most amazing musicians that I know.
I'm a coach.
Yeah.
I'm a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, I like to see, you know, what I do more like Barnabas, and I'm an encourager.
Wow. Yeah. I love that.
I see myself more of a Barnabas, because a lot of times I've received calls,
mm-hmm.
you know, people going through different struggles in their spiritual walk.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that God is able to use me to help them through these different areas of struggles, of demonic attack, and they're able to come forth knowing that the lies that they were listening to and believing, it's from the devil. And so they now have to learn to retrain their thought pattern so that they're able to reflect that which is of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be an enabler, it's the best job ever.
Yeah, yeah.
An encourager.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, you know, I think that, you know, encouragement, which is a gift of the Spirit, is one of the most misunderstood gifts and one of the most critical gifts. I think, you know, a lot of times we think of other things that can seem to be more flashy, but encouragement, I think, is one of the most critical gifts. I mean, where would any of us be without, in that critical moment, God bringing someone alongside of us to encourage us? And so I think that's so great. And I just want to encourage you, just like you articulated so well, find out how God is using you. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to. God's design is not flawed in you. God knows what he did when he designed you, when he created you. You're beautiful just the way that you are. You don't have to have someone else's gift set. You can have the gift set that Jesus gave you. And so I love that how in touch and how comfortable you are in your own gift, that you know, you're excited and you understand what it does, and you're proud of it.
Yes.
I wish that all of us as Christians could be that confident and that proud of whatever gifts that God gives us. Mm-hmm. So, all right, what do we have here? In this season, God is speaking to us outside of reading his word and listening to the message. Could you share with us other ways that we could hear him? Outside of reading the Bible and listening to the message. You want to go first?
There are several ways I hear God speak to me. I like nature.
Mm.
When you take yourself away from the concerns and the cares of the world and you go like on a camping trip, and you and nature, you'll hear the birds sing. You feel the wind blowing. And, you know, you sense God's presence because he is in nature. But the problem that we have is that we don't understand how to hear from God.
Yeah.
We don't know how to understand when he's speaking. We are not able to decipher, is this God's voice or is it my own intellect? Mm-hmm. And so we become confused. So how can we hear from God except through except the word, and he speaks to us through dreams, vision. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God will show me signs. God, I've gotten so many dreams where, you know, God show me how he make a way of escape for me.
Yeah.
Because the enemy doesn't like me. And I know. But what? I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which he has committed unto me.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So God speaks to us through dreams, through visions, the audible voice. Sometimes you'll hear something, someone talk to you, and you may be looking around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get our attention.
Yeah.
So God is able to speak to us, but we have to first learn to understand that he's speaking.
Yeah.
We should be able to understand who is speaking.
Yeah.
Because his sheep knows his voice.
Yeah.
So if you don't know his voice, that could be your prayer tonight. Father, teach me to hear your voice. Mm-hmm. Teach me to understand when you're speaking to me. Teach me to understand you speaking to me in the wind, in the wave, while I'm listening to the radio. Help me to hear you when you're speaking.
Yeah.
Because he used all platform to talk to us.
Yeah.
But it's for us to understand he's speaking.
That's awesome. I like that. And I like this question. Thank you for asking that question, Tiff. I think that I won't re-list what you said because that's great. But some other ways that I've heard is many times in worship moments, mm-hmm. I'll just hear the Spirit give me, it might be something huge, might be something small, just something that is crucial in the middle of worship. For me, a lot of times it's prayer walks. I just, it sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's in the night, but if I can just get away and walk, and that's kind of connected to nature, but if I can just get on a walk and just pray a little bit, just meditate, just allow myself to get away from the noise, God always speaks to me there. And then one that I think people may not notice much is God speaks to me when I serve. In the midst of me serving others, God will just lay something on me and I'll be like, whoa. So I've found that's a great avenue that God speaks to us as his children is when we're serving. And I think there was one more that I was going to give.
Yeah, prophecy. He speaks through prophecy, word of knowledge.
Thank you. That's the one that
you see, a lot of times people are aware of those areas. That's why I didn't mention it. But God speaks to us through the prophets.
Well, I'll give you
through teachers.
I'll give you one up on that because that's important. But also, don't just leave it there because oftentimes we get a prophecy and that's great. We remember it for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then we let it. So one way God really speaks to me is I review the prophecies. So I go back over prophecies that I got 10 years ago and something from 10, 15 years ago, something from 3, 4 years ago. I hear something in it that I never heard before, or I'm reminded of something that I forgot and God's like, ah. And so we have to go back and rehearse the prophecies, go back and rehearse some of the great messages and revelations that you wrote down in your own notes, in your own journal. Just as you go over that, some of that's going to come back to life. Some of that you're like, I never thought of it like this. And of course, the dream situation, you might be reviewing some of your dreams. What I'm a huge fan of is journaling, just writing down everything. I try to write down the sermon notes. I try to write down my dreams. I try to write down, my biggest takeaways from books that I read, the biggest, from the scriptures that I'm reading, the daily scriptures that I'm reading. What are my biggest takeaways? And so when we write those things down, that helps us get through dry seasons when we're like, man, I can't hear anything. We'll just go back and start reviewing.
Right. Right. So if you get back to the Bible where it make a list of some of the gifts of the Spirit, that's, how God also speaks to us. Mm-hmm. And if we, as I said before, just get back to the Bible.
Yeah.
We will hear him speak through these things because you have the word of knowledge. you know, the gift of, you know, tongues, interpreting of tongues.
Yeah.
All these are gifts that God speak through to us. But the problem we have is not hearing, because we are not able to hear or unable to understand that he's speaking. And he's a gentleman. He's not going to come and be a bully.
Yeah.
He's going to come tap on your shoulder. Hi.
Yeah.
I'm your dad. Yeah. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Can you hear me? And, you know, we get caught up with the affairs of this world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's what the enemy has used. Being busy doing this, that, and forget.
There's a term I'm sure you're familiar with, noise pollution. In our life, we just have so much noise pollution. If it's not this, it's that, it's the radio, it's the TV, it's this, it's social media, it's apps on our phones, it's notifications, it's our laptop, it's whatever, it's people talking, TV running, just noise pollution. And if we can take a step back, I'm telling you, you will start to hear the voice of God better and better. It's just about making room for him, making space for him. Man, I love this. I love this. Is there anything, if there was one last thing to say to everybody, this is the big, big takeaway for tonight. What would you say to everybody?
Draw near to God.
Wow.
Draw near to God.
Amen.
You know, when he said it to me, I think about, you know, being in the mall and parents, sometimes I see they have leash on their kids. But what that is saying is they're going to pull when you go too far, they pull you. And so God is pulling us closer to him in this season.
Yeah.
And so we have to be able to recognize the pulling of God, the urge, urgency.
Yeah.
And move towards him, because that's what he's saying. I'm drawing you closer. Come closer to me.
Isn't that love? Like when we go through, say the family is going somewhere and the kids are, it's a dangerous situation. What does the parent do? The parent pulls the child close to them.
Right.
You know, and the enemy intended these things for evil that are going on in the world today. But God is turning it for good. He's turning it into an opportunity to draw us close. And the Bible actually promises us that. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And so if we are chasing after him, if we're moving towards him, whatever speed or velocity that we're moving towards God, he will meet and exceed that velocity. So if we're running, he will outpace us in running to us. Yeah. If we are walking towards him, he will outpace us in walking towards us. If we're moving towards him, he will outpace us in moving towards him. And one last thing that I want to say before we pray, and that is get around some people that are hearing from God.
Yes.
If you're looking to hear from God more, surround yourself with people. You know, Saul was totally at the wrong place with God, and he passes the school of the prophets, and now he's there prophesying, you know. He's there prophesying because of the people that he was around. So you can get up next to people that have a great ability to hear from God, right? You get around them, and then you're going to be strengthened. You're going to be stirred in that. You're going to be like, whoa, a portal just opened. A telephone line just happened that now I'm hearing crystal clear. What happened? Well, you know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And there's a type of agreement. You can get into a prophetic agreement when you get around people that are hearing from God. And there's plenty of groups and subgroups within the church that people that they hear from God all the time. You know, they're talking to God all the time. Mm-hmm. Just jump into their conversation with God. Just get involved in that.
Yes.
If you're not actively in a conversation with God, just butt into someone else's conversation with God and just allow God to stir you up in this season. I wanted to is this one last question? All right, we'll take one last question. I love it. All right, Denise. If someone is crippled with fear, How do you help them start spending time in the Word?
Well, the first thing is the battle is in the mind. And so crippling begins in the mind. So once you are able to surrender your thought pattern to God and ask Him, because He said, you know, come unto me.
Ooh, all those.
So if we come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. He's there. But we have to lay it all before Him. Cast all your cares upon Him. Yeah. Everything. Your fear. Cast. He said, God, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
God, I am afraid.
Yeah.
Be open and honest with Him. And then ask Him, help me. Just like the man, you know, whose son needed healing with Jesus.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And you know, Jesus said, if you believe. And He said, help my unbelief.
I want to believe, but there's some conflict within myself.
Right.
I believe, but also help me deal with the unbelieving parts
with it.
Of myself.
Help me deal with the fear. So we have to lay it all before God.
Yeah.
And then we have to start retrain the way we think.
Wow.
Because how we think is going to reflect whatsoever a man thinketh, he becomes.
Yeah.
So we have to change our thought pattern. We have to now start meditate upon the Word of God, which means you take a verse. If it means you just take a verse for the week and just keep repeating it, God, you have given us a spirit of love and not fear. God, you have given us a spirit of love and not fear. You just keep saying that until fear leaves. Because fear is going to get tired of you telling him that you have love.
Yep, absolutely. You walk around that that problem long enough that the walls are going to come down, and you're making the right declarations. Well, I want to close with a word of prayer. I have a word of prayer, and Minister Margaret, if you would just lead us in a word of prayer that God would stir up faith in us, faith. Faith is another one of the gifts of the Spirit.
It is.
If God would stir up faith in us, and I know we all have a portion of faith, but that God would just stir that faith up inside of us, that it would, faith and love, because love cancels out fear. It drives fear out of our lives.
And faith operates under love. So once we have love, faith will follow suit.
Absolutely.
So we need to understand God's word, and that's in the scripture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, pray for us tonight.
Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who came and died so that we can live. We thank you, God, that when he died, he took fear with him. He took our sicknesses, our diseases. And Father, even now as we come before you, we come against every spirit of fear that has been crippling your people. We decree and declare in the atmosphere that fear is defeated right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and Father God, as fear leave, we pray that your Holy Spirit will take residency in our hearts, in our hearts, in our hearts, in our hearts, Father God. Lord, let your Holy Spirit reign supremely in our being. And Father God, we thank you for your presence, because it's in your presence we find joy. And Father God, we ask for the gift of your Spirit to overtake us, to overshadow us, to surround us, Father God. We thank you that you protect us, you guide us, and you lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, we know that fear will come, but we know that you have given us something that is greater, something that is bigger, and that is your love. For love casteth out all fear. And so, God, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's love makes all the difference. And so if you want to give tonight, you know you can give. You can text Hope United to 77977, or you can give via the website hopeunited.church. The Bible says give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's going to overflow. God wants to take us all into a season of overflow. But every harvest starts with a seed. So I encourage you to give tonight. And also, tomorrow night we have Zoom prayer. So you can get that. Get in there. Pray with us. There's something powerful when we come together and we agree in prayer. So God bless you. You can give. You can meet us tomorrow night for Zoom prayer. And have a great night. At Hope United, we are one family in faith. Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.